Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
What's up, everybody? That's right, you found your way to part two of JG's Radio Free Insanity for April the 8th, 2006. My name is James Gutman. We're about to be joined on the phone line by the Birdman, Coco Beware. Really excited to have him on, somebody I grew up watching, somebody a lot of our readers grew up watching. So it's pretty cool. We're going to have him on, talk a little bit about his career and things that he's done. You know what? Why waste time? Let's just do it right now. Let me cue it up. All right, guys, so join me in welcoming to the show the Birdman, Coco Beware. Coco, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, brother. Nothing much, man. Just having a good time. Just, thank God I'm still breathing. Thank God I'm still walking on the ground.
For a lot of wrestlers, that's kind of a lot to say after all the years you've been in the business.
Got that right.
Takes its toll on your body. Let me ask you this, Coco. I mean, you've been, you were in WWE for years upon years. And one of the main things that fans remember you for is your singing. And you were involved with the Pile Driver album. You came out with a lot of songs. How did that come about when you were approached by WWE to do some singing for the company as well as wrestling?
Well, you know what? I love to try to carry tunes, but some people said I can carry one, and some people say I can't. But that's just a matter of opinion. But, you know, Vince McMahon thought I could carry tunes, so we come up with a good album called Pile Driver, and it went... He sold over 500,000 copies. And, man, I was just so tickled to death of doing the Pile Driver. And, man, you know, sometimes now I still count. I sing a little portion of it sometimes now.
Yeah, can you give us
sometimes
a
bit? Love like a slow dance. Pile Driver. Yeah, Pile Driver. Oh, that's enough. I got to stop that, man. I'm getting all excited and getting carried away. Go ahead, brother.
No, that was great, man. Well, I mean, it had to be an exciting time to be a part of WWE back then. I mean, you were at WrestleMania 3. You fought Butch Reed. What was it like competing in front of so many people?
Yeah, WrestleMania 3, man, it was, you know, one. Now, that is, as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what? You will never go to a WrestleMania unless you can go to 93,000 people.
Oh yeah.
And I tell you, man, that's gonna be like I said, that's gonna be something that I won't never forget. And it was just a great time, just great moments.
I mean, you spent so much time there in the company. You were there for close to 10 years, I think it was, right? Like, I think it was around 94, 95 when you first started?
Yeah, from 86 to 95. And so, you know, I had a good time. I was just glad that I was about the second generation that came in there after McMahon took over. Mm-hmm. And, man, I was just so glad. I mean, you know, I really thank Vince McMahon for the opportunity that he gave me, and he really made Coco Beware what it is today. You know, if he didn't give me that chance, you wouldn't know, the fans wouldn't know Coco Beware all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I still remember, I think it was your debut on TV was right around the Saturday night's main event when you fought, was it Zhukov, Boris Zhukov, I think it was?
Yeah, Nikolai Volkov. You know, I mean, that was a big win for me. Of course, he beat my brains out, but, man, it was some kind of way. I think a fan throwed a banana peeling in the ring, and he slipped up on it, and I got a fast 1-2-3 count on it. And you know what, man, I was saying, you talking about somebody was rejoicing, man. I'm talking about that was one of the happy days of my life when I got a big win over that big Russian.
That had to be cool. Who was your favorite person to work against the entire time you were there? Who did you have the most fun in the ring with?
Well, you know, back then, you know, everybody was fun to wrestle against. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And I really didn't have any picks, you know, really, because we had such a good group of guys back then. And you know what? We have a, I was up there for the USA, you know, when they brought all the legends back, you know, go back on the USA. And I was very, very impressed of the generation they have up there now. They were so polite. Oh, man, they was just, man, they were just so nice. I mean, I just had a good time with Triple H, Batista, even Ric Flair, you know, he's part of my generation, but... But I'm talking about these new guys, Edge, and the young ladies. I mean, the whole, it was just like a warm welcome when I went back up there and met them.
Must have been cool to be backstage again in the WWF event.
Oh, it was. It was definitely, you know, I felt at home again. And so, you know, I just, anytime I get a chance to go back, I feel good. I just feel good going back and just to see everybody, got a chance to shake everybody's hand, and the guys that had never met me, but they know who I am, and it was just a pleasure just to meet, you know, guys like Triple H.
Triple H is, we're big fans of Triple H here on the website.
Pardon me?
I said we're big fans of Triple H over here on our website.
Oh, okay, good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Let me ask you this. When the Hall of Fame first started, a lot of people thought it was going to be a lot of world champions and things like that, but it's kind of turned into a respect thing for wrestlers of days gone by, and Bob Orton is one of the wrestlers that I'll point to that never won a title in WWF, yet is in the Hall of Fame. Do you think we'll see the day when Coco Beware is going to be inducted into that Hall of Fame?
Well, you know what I'm saying? I want to take my hat off to Bob Orton Jr. because, you know, Bob Orton Jr., he deserved being in the Hall of Fame. He's an outstanding wrestler. I mean, a showman, the man. He was a natural, what I'm saying. And he deserved it. And for myself, I just have to wait on time. If they want me in the Hall of Fame, they will call me. I don't bother nobody for getting in the Hall of Fame. I don't bother Vince McMahon or his organization. Well, they won't be. They will put, when it's due time, if it's going to happen, they will put Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame. Other than that, you know, meanwhile, I'm going to still live the legend the rest of my life to be a legend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're still active. I mean, you take bookings once in a while, right?
Oh, I'm taking bookings a lot of weekends and stuff. You know, I'm doing ministry work with Nikita Koloff, man, Bobby O'Dell, and stuff like that on the Ted DiBiase. We doing ministry work and stuff like that, trying to help save souls and stuff like that, having like a wrestling deal, you know, wrestling soul. That wrestling got to be born again to Christians also.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing about it, what I'm doing, I just pray God that I can still get in there and still be active in the business. And what I'm saying is, I know I'm not like I used to be, because that's been 20-something years ago. And you just got to remember, you know, if you get older, you know, if you live longer, you're going to get older, and you ain't going to be able to do the things you used to do.
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, it seems like recently WWE has kind of reached out to a lot of guys from generations gone by. Jim Duggan, Tatanka, Animal. I mean, it's got to be the kind of thing where, I mean, have you heard from them at all about possibly maybe doing an appearance down the line or maybe something even local at a Tennessee event or something like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I talk to Jim Duggan. I run into him all the time. Those guys, they're all excited, you know, when we see each other. Just like family, man, you know. But that's just where it is. We just glad to see each other when we see them. When we see each other.
Well, I mean, it kind of feels like now today, in 2006, there's so many DVDs and so many video footage of you guys from days gone by that fans today, who maybe weren't around when you were in WWE, are still familiar with who you are. I mean, that's got to be a good feeling that, you know, because of DVDs and because of video footage and 24/7, you know, your name stays out there and people know who you are long past the days when you leave.
Well, I tell you what, it's like this. We're like Elvis Presley. We won't be. It's gonna be never. You're gonna be never forgotten. You never be forgotten and stuff in this business. I mean, I did something. I'm a legend. I'm a die legend. And I just thank the fans that supported me all these many years and stuff. And and every little bit helps, you know, with the DVDs, the VCRs, every time, even with WWE showing some flashbacks back in the day and stuff, you know, what, like I, they said they could, when they conducted me and Gene Oakland, that I was on there with Gene Oakland doing an interview. I mean, they said they saw me several times on there. All that does, that just re-lives Coco Beware. You see what I'm saying? That lets people say, oh, there's Coco. What was he doing? Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, he, you know, he was on Monday Night Raw and all this stuff. So, I mean, it just keeps you out there, bro. You know.
Absolutely. Well, it's got to be cool because I remember when I was a kid, they had this kind of, it wasn't really a rule, but they wouldn't show people once they were gone. Like, when a wrestler would leave, it was the end of it. And nowadays, it's kind of cool because you can go back and they're still showing footage of a lot of guys who were there from days gone by. So, it keeps your name out there and it keeps you alive, definitely.
Right. And I just think, like I said, you know, everybody's got DVDs. I'm the type of wrestler, I don't bother nobody. I don't try to sue nobody because they sell in my tapes, my pictures, all my merchandise. Sell Coco Beware all you want to. I don't care. Sell it. Take, if you get $1 million off of it, fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how it is. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Because what it is, it keeps me in the lifeline because whenever somebody go to a flea market or something like that, if somebody sent me on a DVD tape, boy, it rings a bell. That's Coco Beware.
Yep.
Wow.
That's
so why should I want to tell this guy, you can't sell my merchandise because I'm not getting any money off of it. I don't care. Sell it. I'm not doing nothing with it. I want somebody else to keep my dream alive and keep my wrestling ability. I mean, everything. Just keep it going. Keep the legend going. That's what motivates me. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of breaking, you know, talking, jumping my words and stuff, but I'm just so excited by talking on the radio today, and man, I just want the fans to realize that, man, without those fans, it wouldn't be no Coco Beware. It wouldn't, and I give it all to WWE, Vince McMahon, you know. I'm not kissing Vince McMahon, but I'm just telling you like it is. Vince McMahon, you know, I come from a little small country town. He took a little black boy on the other side of the track, a little poor black boy, and made him a big time superstar. And I never forgot that.
Yeah.
And I love that. He took me around the world four times in my life. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to praise him, but I just give thanks to Vince McMahon and company, you know?
Yeah.
For giving me that opportunity. Because I'm the one made my, you know what? I made history in my little hometown by putting their name on the map. Who ever heard of Union City, Tennessee?
No, yeah, you're right. No, I mean, it's Vince McMahon gives a lot of people the opportunity, and it's definitely good to hear people who have made the most out of their time there appreciating it. You know what I mean?
You know what? And there's a lot of guys that go out, put magazines. They you tell them a story that you read about them and stuff. Well, that story's not even true at all. Like, you know, they said, "Oh, I'm from Las Vegas." Well, he's probably nowhere from Georgia somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But see what I'm saying? I have never lied from the day one on my where I'm from, or anything, because I want people to know, hey, that they can make it too. All they gotta do is get in the right position. You can make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you started in your hometown. I mean, you started in Mid-South and doing the things with Lawler's company back in the day. What was that like?
I actually started in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started working out in my hometown and stuff, and this is where all this came from. You know, it came from this and all that, man. And I'm just so glad that I got an opportunity to do it, because it ain't that many people come from a little small country town that, you know, is only population 10,000 people, and you got one post office, one police, one grocery store, one red light. So, man, one hospital, and it's a half a hospital of that.
Yeah.
But now my town has grown now. I mean, we got more than one grocery store. We got more than one police. We got more than one post office.
It's progress.
We got a four lane.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, you put it's like kind of like a hometown boy makes good type of situation.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Coco. One of the big things in your career that I remember is that you were a team with Owen Hart as a member of High Energy. Right. What was that like? What was it like working with Owen back in the day?
It was good. It was so good. I missed Owen a lot. I'm sorry what happened to my, you know, I just, you know, God bless his soul and everything. But, you know, I knew his family. I knew his kids and all that, man. Owen was just, he was one heck of a, I tell you what, the whole Hart Foundation family, you know, I mean, I'm talking about, I'm going all the way back to Stu Hart. I mean, it just, Denver, the Edward Knight Hart, Brad Hart, Brennan Brothers and stuff like that, man, they was just, they ain't even the sisters and all, the mother, man, the whole Hart family was super, super great people.
That's cool. What was it, where were you and how did you find out when he had passed away?
Well, I heard it probably 2 days later after it happened.
Okay, well, let me move on to this. Let me ask you a little bit about your bird, Frankie, because I know it came out maybe a year or two ago that there was an incident with that whole situation. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a tough situation, but I will talk to you about it. But the only thing that we moved in this house. Didn't quite move I get all our stuff in. Of course, we had some clothes almost around Christmas time. And then we had a bad fire come in the house, or there was some bad wiring went through the house. And, of course, Frankie was in the house. We was going to church. About 45 minutes later, they said, y'all need to get home, your house is on fire. So we got home, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's how I lost Frankie. And, so thank God, I'm going to see how God works though, man. Just the other day, I got a call that this lady had found another blue and gold macaw, which is identical to Frankie. So, man, I got me a Frankie Jr. So Coco be wearing Frankie Jr. is back on the road again.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, it's gotta be tough. I mean, because usually I think parrots live a long time, naturally, right?
Oh, they live 100 years old.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, you gotta put them in your will.
Definitely, man. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, I saw the film Beyond the Mat that you were involved in. I don't know. Yeah, and they kind of, I think at one point, they didn't really portray you all that well. I mean, what were your thoughts on being involved in that project? What did you think about it once you had seen it?
Well, one thing about it, the guy that put the film out, in fact, we're still looking for him now. If you know any kind of information on this guy, his name is Barry or something, that put this movie out, he owed me some money because he didn't pay me one red penny for doing this.
Really?
Well, he conned me out of it. He conned me out. In fact, I don't know if he did Jake the Snake the same way. He said this might. It might go and it may not.
Okay.
So if it goes, we're going to get money. If it don't go, we won't get nothing.
Oh, so he said he was going to give you money?
Huh?
He said he was going to give you money and it didn't?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
But that's the reason why I would have never did that interview if I hadn't got any money.
Yeah. I mean, were you surprised? Do you think you were portrayed well? Do you think that, you know, it was kind of, I mean, it didn't really seem the most positive piece in the world, you know?
Yeah, he was just, I don't know what, you know what, I don't know, I just don't know what happened, you know, when these guys come in, that's why I'm so leery now. I don't really do too much unless, hey, you're not going to use me, you're not going to use Coco Beware. If you want to use it, you're going to pay me for it because you pay everybody else.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So when it comes down to the camera, I don't mind doing the interview with you right now, you know, and I don't try, and this little conversation here is great for me. It's exposure for me, the people that will listen to it and all that stuff, but I don't want to ask you for arm and leg and so on, but if you guys want to donate something or whatever, I don't care, I take that, a love offering or whatever, but the thing about it, you don't have to, because it's free of charge. All right?
I got you, man. Coco, before I let you go, anything you want to say to all your fans out there who are still following Coco Beware after all these years?
Yeah. I just wanna let them know, hey, that I'm still doing well, thank God, and y'all just hold on and hope that one of these days I can appear in your hometown. And one day I hope that it could happen, that they put me in the Hall of Fame. But I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm gonna wait on Vince McMahon. But other than that, y'all just keep the faith and God bless you all.
All right, Coco, man. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. You there still? So there you go, guys. Coco Beware, the Birdman, singing a few bars of Pile Driver on Radio Free Insanity. Doesn't get much more insane than that. As I said before, guys, we go the wide spectrum here on Radio Free Insanity, bringing on people who are active in the business now, people who are active in days gone by, and people who are really have made changes within the business. I mean, we had Christian Cage on here the week he won the NWA World title. We had Christopher Daniels on here right after he won the X Division title. Samoa Joe, when he was X Division champion. By the same token, we have Nick Bockwinkel, former AWA champion on. You know, Jimmy Hart, the manager of champions. And now Coco Beware, the guy who sang Pile Driver and really has done a lot in the business. So really good to have him on. Hearing a little bit about what he's up to now. Speaking of up to now, just give you guys a quick plug. Don't forget World Wrestling Insanity, the book, available at Amazon.com, available wherever books are sold. We're about a little more than a month away from the release date. Very excited about it. We should have more information on the book as we get closer to it. I'm going to be going into more detail next week, so stay tuned for that. Now, you guys want to know what you voted for, right? You want to know what the deal is and what was the most insane moment of the week. And you can't vote for Coco singing Pile Driver on Radio Free Insanity. Sorry, but it's not eligible. Instead, you guys voted for something else. You know, I don't know what it could be. Oh my God. I have no idea. Here it is, guys. Moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery. And everyone, man, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Slobberknockers.
It wasn't much. Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of World Wrestling Insanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Are you ready?
The Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that a God is an awesome God.
Break it down! Yo! Lift up high, let us fight for the more style! Listen, what?
This week's Moment of Insanity. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Once again, fucking with karma, screwing with things that maybe you shouldn't be screwing with, and booking God for a tag team match on Backlash's card. Yeah, in case you guys missed Raw, and in case you aren't familiar with the deity known as God, let me give you guys a little background on this. Shawn Michaels, born again, ever since the days where he was, you know, the heartbreak kid, the showstopper, the guy with the attitude that everyone was pissed at, decided to turn his life around, become born again, and really just embrace God, bring him into his life. Really a noble thing to do. I mean, whether you're into that or not is beside the point. For Shawn, it was a way of turning his life around. It was a way of kind of embracing this this new outlook on how he wants to do things and his family and all that kind of stuff. And that's cool, and that's up to Shawn, and he could do that. However, the confusion now sets in, because now Shawn Michaels, this guy who really has embraced this way of life, is involved in a storyline on Monday Night Raw that involves a lot of borderline blasphemy, if you will. Yeah, and I'm saying this 100% because my wife actually saw the segment with Vince and was like, should Shawn be there? when he's doing that? Here's what happened. Vince McMahon is playing the devil on Raw, playing Satan himself, you know, and he comes out, and he's got Shane, and it was a great segment, all right, I got to tell you. It was a great segment with Vince and Shane. I think Shane really played his part well on Monday. Michaels is in the ring, and he's talking about how he beat up Vince McMahon, how the feud is finally over, and he's finally moved on, okay? This might have been a bit of a mistake, because I think that, in a way, I was kind of excited when Michael said that. I was excited they were going to move on and move him on to somebody else. So Vince McMahon comes out, and they were like, haha, we're not moving on. But whatever, it's still cool, they had a good match, the feud's been going alright. So Michaels comes out, and Vince comes out, and he turns to Michaels with his son Shane, and he tells Sean that he didn't get defeated simply by the boy toy at WrestleMania. No, you see, the Rocker had help. He had help from divine intervention, from the Lord Almighty above. That's right, Vince McMahon blamed God for his loss at WrestleMania, and it seems so funny because WWE is on this kick where they're trying to get all of these otherworldly type of, you know, heavenly beings interfering in matches. With Eddie Guerrero is the one who helped Ray, and now God helped Shawn Michaels. So Vince McMahon blames God for losing, and then goes into this little monologue. Why, God, why do you always bully me? Blah, 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 which was bizarre, but I mean, again, it's classic Vince, and keep in mind, guys, when I say bizarre, it's not always bad to be bizarre. Sometimes bizarre is good. But with Vince McMahon, I think he did it really well. He said, why are you always picking on me, God? And Michaels, in one of his best parts in a while, turns to McMahon standing out there, and he goes, you know, Vince, I don't mean to interrupt you in your delusional rant or whatever you're doing with the good Lord Almighty, but does this have a point? So Vince's point was that Shawn Michaels at Backlash would be facing, in a tag match, Vince, and as Vince referred to him, the product of his semen, Shane McMahon, to which Shane turned his head slowly and made this look at Vince that was really priceless. I mean, and a lot of times Shane can be over the top with some of his stuff, but I think Shane's gimmick, when he's playing the son of Vince and not playing the indestructible Shane McMahon, is good. I think Shane McMahon, as the spoiled son of a promoter, or even better than that, the spoiled son of an insane promoter, plays his role well. When he's playing the guy who kills Kane, he's not a good role. But, you know, son of an insane guy, that works, because in real life, he is the son of an insane guy. He's not the guy who kills Kane. And just get that out of the way. So Shane was good. Against Shawn Michaels and his partner, God. As Vince McMahon says, God! You know, and that's Michaels' partner, God. Where is this going? Who freaking knows where this is going? No one knows where this is going. A lot to this, and there's a lot of avenues they can take with it, and I don't know how many of them are good. Here's the selling point to the whole feud. The selling point to the feud is the fact that no one knows what's going to happen, so people are going to order Backlash to see what they're going to do. Are they going to dress somebody up like God? Are they going to bring back Mordecai? Have him play God? Are they going to have an invisible being knocking Vince McMahon around the ring? Are they going to have a spotlight come down on the ring? Are they just going to do what we all think they should do and just bring Triple H out and be like, oh, that's God! You know what I mean? Because that's kind of what they think. I don't know where they're going with that. So it's going to get curiosity buys. People are going to buy Backlash to see what happens. Of course, now they do run the risk of having a disappointment. When people go into a situation having no clue where things are going, there is going to be a segment of the audience that is going to be disappointed, unless you really produce something amazing. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Very different situation, very strange. New, but yeah, overall bizarre. The segment I liked, the idea behind it, to sell a pay-per-view by getting people in there out of curiosity, which seems to be WWE's new thing lately now, as of Monday, they were going for that shock and awe type of setup for everything, as far as, you know, no one knows what's going on with Cena's situation. How is Cena going to continue to be world champion when, you know, he's a good guy and no one likes him? Why are they keeping the belt on him? That's the confusion of Cena, keeps people tuned in. You know, Estrada, I'm not saying his whole name, Alessandro Estrada, and Ric Flair, I mean, again, that was another thing where people are like, well, where is this one going to go? I want to see who Umaga is. Let's watch next week. That's another type of thing. And WWE really going for the surprises, really going for the curiosity buys. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good way to sell a pay-per-view. The problem is, are they capable of giving a good enough payoff? I mean, with a situation, booking God in a tag team match, I kind of think that there's more opportunities for it to be a big letdown in the end than there is for it to be a big success in the end. However, they are going to get the buys beforehand. Not sure how I feel about it. I'm not one of those people. I'm not sitting there going, you know, that's sacrilegious. How dare you book God in a tag team match? I mean, guys, they banged Katie Vick. Al Wilson had sex till he died. I mean, God is not the worst thing that WWE is. Eugene was retarded. I mean, WWE has done a lot worse things than booking God in a tag match. The only problem, again, that I run into with this is that where's the payoff? And what's the payoff going to be? And are we going to be here in a month on Radio Free Insanity, and you guys are going to hear me go, that's right, guys, this week's moment of insanity is WWE bringing out a guy under a sheet and calling him God. I mean, it's a strange thing. Is it going to be a guy in a long white beard? What are they going to do? How are they going to book God? I don't know. Maybe JBL? He's a wrestling god? I mean, I don't know. There's ways to see it. There's ways to figure it out. And really, unless this is a big debut of someone, I can't imagine what they're going to do. And if they debut somebody named God, I don't really know what to tell you guys. That's going to be absolutely bizarre. Aaron, 24, would actually say, he says, yeah, booking God is about as nuts as it can get. And, you know, and he's right. I mean, you don't really sum it up any more than that. It's really bizarre and really, really strange. Ravier, hope I'm pronouncing it right, R-A-E-V-I-R, says, McMahon challenging God to a match is by far my pick for MOI. I have a feeling God is going to no-show the match, but since he's on the card, McMahon will probably claim a victory over the Lord if he could beat Shawn Michaels. Shame on McMahon for trying to cash in on a name recognition of the Almighty. That's actually a really good point that Raver brings up. Really, I hope I'm pronouncing it, Raver. Is this a situation, again, where it's going to be ego? And that's all it really is in the end. Vince McMahon beats Shawn Michaels with help from his son and then says, you know, Vince McMahon beat God, you know, and it's, that would, again, that would be a letdown, as we just said before. Timekeeper, agree, I'm going to be sorely disappointed if God doesn't end up being thrown through a plate glass window. SummerSlam, God versus Seaman. The Seaman thing, too, was like, what the hell is that, man? Shane McMahon, a product of his Seaman. Yeah, guys, I mean, there you have it. Remember, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity. Is anything going to top God? I don't know. Can he top God? Is there a point? Should you even try? Well, pray. Maybe it'll happen. But there you have it, guys. It is Shawn Michaels and his Lord and Savior, the Almighty God, taking on Vince McMahon and his gooey white product of his self, Shane. Taking on each other at Backlash. So tune in, order it, guys, and you'll get a chance to see God, and you don't even have to get killed for it to happen. So that's pretty cool. Remember, guys, voting starts now. Next week's Moment of Insanity, go to the message board, start voting in Gutman's World Wrestling Insanity folder, top of the list, and you can vote for next week's Moment of Insanity, or you can send an email to insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. We will be back next Friday with a brand new show. Then we're going to have a week off. We'll go into that next week. I'll tell you guys about it. But we'll be announcing this week's guest during the week. Should be pretty cool. Until then, you guys, this is James Gutman saying be sure to check out the site. Be sure to give a listen, give a click to a lot of things we have going on. And thank you for sharing our insanity. Take care.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.